Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Welcome, welcome once again, Blog Talk Radio. I'll be your host, Reginald Camper. It's good to have everybody here. We're going to have a couple of announcements, and I know everybody's moving around. They're doing a lot of things. We have Dan here. Dan's going to fill you in on some of the retirees, what they're going through. I'm going to say real quick, I got a lot of phone calls of people upsetting me, and it made me very upset that why are you calling me? Why are you calling me and you're not calling the union? I am not a representative no more for the union. Call the people that you elected, or call the people because you didn't vote. They got elected. So now you're stuck with your problem. We will be going to YouTube. We're going to go to YouTube and we'll start our own channel. I'm working on that right now as we speak. And we signed another contract with Blog Talk, so we will be on all for next year. So that's good news. I usually say your first three numbers. And that's your name. When we start going to YouTube, you'll be able to. We're going to do Skype. So if you want to be able to see me, you'll be able to see me. If you want to go in the chat room, you can go in the chat room. So I'm going to go straight to the board because I know Dan is busy. He's moving around. We have our big brother here. I'm glad to see him here, Pat. So I'm going to go to Dan and Pat. I'm putting everybody like we normally do. Everybody's open. So I'm going to go to Dan first, and then Pat, you up after Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hi, how you doing, Reggie? How you doing, Pat?
Evening.
Pat, welcome back, big bro.
Yeah, well, I'm here for now. Let's see.
Dan said he's moving around, so he won't be with us for long. Dan, you want to give us an update? All right, if you want to give us an update on the retirees, or Pat, want to give us an update on the retirees, I did hear rumors that the union are negotiating our benefits, a package with the health care, and they're not happy about it. But, hey, I don't have anything to do with it. So, Dan, tell me anything you'd like to say about it.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if the union didn't get what the members wanted. The union is just worried. The union leadership's worried about themselves. Now there's a big Supreme Court hearing coming up in the fall or in January about this called Fair Share, where if you don't want to join the union and the union is representing you in negotiations, they're legally required to take dues out. But now with the conservative Supreme Court, that could change. If that does, unions are in huge trouble. I'm all for unions, but I'm not for corrupt union leadership. That's what caused this problem, that people don't want to be in a union. They're not getting represented. It's not just our union. It's a lot of unions that the leadership is corrupt and they're self-centered, and all they're worried about is their own self-interest. And this is what happens. So the Supreme Court rules against fair share. Unions are – the death knell for the union is – it's done within a couple of years. The union isn't done.
Totally agree. Pat, you want to have anything to say?
Yeah, did you guys see the article I posted about New York where the Teamsters got cut out of their pension drastically? They got a third cut.
When did you post that?
Last week sometime, maybe midweek.
I think I saw it. I think I did see it.
Yeah, I mean, they took a vote, a union vote on it, and the people that didn't vote, since they didn't vote, that were represented by the union, it was legally tendered saying that that was a yes, that go ahead, cut the benefit. I mean, what kind of shit is that? If you don't vote, it's an automatic yes. And then they went on in the article and said, well, the vote didn't matter anyway because it was going to be done, you know, no matter what. I wonder why go through this shit. I mean, those poor people, I mean, how the hell can you get by? And if they got the same kind of health care which we have, and I'm sure they do because the cost of living is higher over there, they're really screwed.
Yeah, that's why I'm running for pension trustee. I've been calling some retired laborers I haven't seen, and they may not know me, so I'm waiting to hear from them. But again, if people aren't proactive, they're going to steal this pension. They're going to try. So.
Oh yeah.
That's why I'm running, and I want to make sure the members working today have something to fall back on when they retire.
And if you notice, they're still bitching about the soda pop tax. I mean, I don't know what I got to do to explain to these people. That's minor. That is not something that you need to survive on. I mean, I stopped drinking soda maybe about 20 years ago, and I started drinking iced tea. You know, I just liked it better instead of all that sugar stuff. But the thing is, you could get away without drinking it. You don't need it. And then sit there and bitch and moan about it. It's unbelievable. But the way the health care is going to hit us, once that goes through, they're all going to be going crazy about it. Because right now when I post it, it's like, oh, yeah, right, yeah, okay. Well, I gave them the cheap one for a single payer. Blue Cross, it should be like $270-some a month it's going up. So it might even go higher than that. We got to wait until I think October 1st or October 15th they post it. 15th it must be. We're already past the 1st. So, I mean, we're just waiting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. I talked to a retiree. He's in the city retiree health plan. He's a single. He pays $1,400 a month, and he's really disappointed when I told him that, you know, the pension fund lawyers are on the city side to cut us out of retiree health care. And he was, you know, I'm not really surprised, but I'm really disappointed. So he's going to come out to vote. That's one vote, anyhow. But retirees, if they're listening, if they know of another retiree, I mean, I would definitely come out to vote because these current trustees don't have our interests at heart. They're in it for other things. And I got a feeling we're getting somebody's getting money from these financial institutions because it's the same guys in all the time, and they must have some kind of vested interest. Why would you want to serve 4 to 5 terms like Mr. Capasso? 4 to 5 terms. I mean, I could see 1 to 2 and then move on with your life. They're told to be to run for political favors or whatever for somebody else. Now, Mr. Capasso is collecting 3 pensions: district council pension, union pension, and the city pension. I'm collecting 1 pension, and if this goes, I got to go back to work. The pension is insolvent, like Victor Roa says, the president of the board of trustees. He said it may go insolvent in 9 years, and we got to go back to work. So.
But
that's
see, the whole thing goes back, Dan, to the simple point is nobody went to court, nobody went to jail, nobody said anything about all that's going on as they were stealing from us. I mean,
I totally agree.
That is our money. We paid into that. That is a signed contract.
Yeah.
Whereas the health care, it's not actually a signed contract, but it was word of mouth that we would have health care for the rest of our lives, and that was a lie. But still, I heard they were giving seminars when you retire about your health care, you know, and stuff. I never went to one, but I mean, it's just a bad place to be in. It's sickening.
And you know, and if you ask me to interject anything into this conversation, when I was in office, I asked a question. And the question I asked was, what's so important about the pensions? And what's so important about the investment of the pensions? The response for the person that gave me this response told me that the people that sit on the board get to pick the brokers that invest the money for the pension. And the brokers get their money right off top, or the investment or whatever they're putting in, and they invest city money of the pension for whatever they think they're going to get a good return on. So my question is, I asked Danny, and he said, I don't know the answer. Who picks the brokers? It's like all these brokers are here. Are they my friends? Who picked them brokers to invest city money? That's the first thing.
I did research. The board of trustees is at the top of the food chain. Everyone else is under them. And they had a graph on the computer. So they're at the top. Then you got your vice president, your executive CEO, and you got your legal counsel. They're all underneath the trustees. So they answer to the trustees, I believe. So, you know, I understand you got to pick some firms. Some of these firms, if they're making money, fine. But we don't know what they're making. All we know is they lost 11% in 2015. And they haven't released 2016's figures yet. If it's another loss, this fund is doomed. I'm telling you, you can't take another 10% loss for 16 and another 10 for 17 in the biggest bull market run. So here's the thing. We need transparency by the board of trustees. Put what each firm, what their yield, what their return is. If they made money, fine. You know, I understand every firm can't make money all the time. I understand that. But 11% loss is unacceptable. Every other pension fund in the country made 4 to 5% in 2015. So it's ridiculous. And, you know, it's this is why it's a big secret. All these, you only get one yearly newsletter. If I get in, I'll go on Pat's website every month and give abbreviated minutes of what happened at these meetings. So everything will be out in the open like it should be. And it's not, it's city money, but it's our money. This is what I paid in, me and you paid in. Why should a guy like these trustees, why can't they correct a broker's mistake? If you're a firm losing money year after year, why are you still in a fund investing our money? I don't understand that. Aerial Investments has been in there since I can remember. Northern Trust has been an investor since I can remember. You know, which is fine. If they're making money, let's post their earnings or their losses. I think people have a right to know.
See, what I don't understand, too, is that, you know, we had the bust in 2008. All right, granted. But then the market came back. I mean, look at where the market stands today. And I always questioned that. Well, if the market's doing so goddamn well, how come our pension funds aren't doing well? That's all tied into the market. I don't know anything about the market or, you know, all the banking and all that. But I do know when we're getting screwed, and we are getting screwed. The same thing with Daly. Who the hell was Daly to give his nephew $68 million of our pension money to invest? Was that voted on by any boards or anything? I think he just wrote a check and said, here, go have fun with the Monopoly money.
Well, you have to. The Board of Trustees has to approve any kind of investment. So the Board of Trustees approved that back in that was late to mid 90s that happened. And don't forget, the investment lost money, and Daly's nephew was guaranteed a salary, even if the real estate went bankrupt, which it did. So his nephew still got a salary. So this is approved by the Board of Trustees. They're in charge. So they have to, you know, nobody. Put their feet to the fire for it. I mean, if you ask any retired labor, they couldn't name one board of trustee on the pension board, which is sad. That's your money. But you're worried about a sugar tax, 32 cents on a quart of Gatorade? This is where our priorities are. They got to change.
It doesn't make sense at all, Dan. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, can you fill me in a little on, you say the Board of Trustees for the pension. Now, the Board of Trustees, you told me once. Can you remind me of who sits on the Board of Trustees?
Yeah, four are appointed by the city, the CEO, the CFO. One was Lois Scott. The one in there now is Carol Brown, who's also a CEO of Barclays Bank. So she's got two jobs. That's definitely a conflict because Barclays Bank invests pension money. See? So that's a conflict. And the union has four. Two are appointed by the union. One is elected, a current worker, and then one retiree is elected. So only two are elected
out of eight.
I think all four, all eight should be elected. But,
don't forget their ace in the hole, Tutu. He's he's a swing vote, supposedly.
Okay. So, you know, it's there's no reason why laborers and retirees can't call City Hall and say, hey, you're my pension trustee. I want you to invest wisely. Call Carol Brown. She probably won't return your call, but call the pension fund. Hey, if enough retirees and clients call the pension fund, they'll put pressure on the board of trustees, I'm telling you. There's a CEO of the pension board. I think his name is Sullivan or something like that. And so they have executives besides the board of trustees.
Hey, do they have a vote? I'm sorry for cutting you off, Dan. Go ahead, finish.
Well, you know, the 11% loss doesn't include administrative fees, which are almost 3%. So you're talking 13%. You know, now, Fitzgerald sent out he sent out a forward on the pension letter saying retirees have to take a cut because the fund will go insolvent. He never mentioned that Barclays Bank or these other investment firms should cut their commissions and fees. Not once. So he's on the side with the city. And when you have trustees on the side with the city, we're doomed. We're doomed.
The question I was going to ask you is, do they have some way that a member can look up the voting record? So hypothetical, somebody makes a suggestion, and then everybody has to take a vote, and then they got to say 5-2 or whatever, and sometimes they even put your name in it if it's a by hand. But do they have a voting record that we can see how these people are voting?
I know they keep minutes. I don't know if they're available to the public, but however, these meetings are open to a member. They're open, current member or retired member. So when I went up there, they had each month the meetings. And Victor Rolla told me they're open to the public. You just have to call ahead and let them know you're coming. But as far as the minutes, I don't know if they're open to members. But if I get in, I'll make sure it is. I'll make sure it is.
Any questions, Pat?
No, I'm all questioned out, Reg. I mean, it's just sickening what's happening, not only to us, but all over the place.
Like what you were saying with that New York pension fund, people are still – the laborers fund, retirees, and current workers are still in denial. They don't think it's going to go bankrupt, and I hope for their sake it doesn't. But it could. You know, the chances are good it could. So,
well, it's my understanding that – no matter what, we all know he's trying to drive everything into the ground. That's his main objective. And then for him and his buddies to buy up everything cheap. But the thing is, it's a court order that before he does anything, he's going to have to sell off assets to pay us. Now, that law could be changed because that law was put in, I think, in 1970. So they already tried to change it one time, and it was shot down. But who knows what's going to happen in the future? I mean, these people, once they're elected, you show them money or bribe them, and that's it. They change their ways right away. Nobody's really honest anymore.
Now, and what gets me, these coordinators and supervisors that collect a good pension, that ring doorbells for Ron, when this pension fund goes bust, he's not going to help them. Just sweep him right under the rug. He could care less if you're a supervisor or labor. He wants to run this fund into the ground. Give it to his 1%ers. Don't forget, we have some hedge fund investments, about 8% of the fund. Hedge funds typically take a 20% commission, 20% off the top, 20. However, their investments are, when they gain big. But when they lose, guess what? You cannot withdraw your money out. There can't be a run on the hedge fund. They'll close down withdrawals. So this is the real big risk with hedge funds. And each year, our fund gets more invested in hedge funds by a percent or two each year. It's 8 to 11% now. You know, and if they lost 11%, that means these hedge funds took a 20% plus the 11% they lost. So it's 31%. And in fees, 3%, that's 33%. That's unsustainable.
Wow. Well, and you know, a lot of people don't understand this. Even though I'm listening to you and Pat, I got like 6 more years before I retire. And a lot of people think that money falls from out the trees or the clouds, and we're going to have a golden slate all the way to retirement. God's going to pay our health care. A lot of people don't understand this. And when you get to reality, because I talk to you guys, I realize the reality sets in. If it's a bad investment, your money is not there. They're going to have to go bankrupt. And even in Detroit, they went, 25 cents on a dollar, or if I'm not mistaken, 10 cents on the dollar for the pension. So it can be hard times. And if I'm quoting these numbers wrong, I apologize, and I'll look them up for next week. But nothing is guaranteed. And, you know, we have to learn. We have to learn that, hey, we have to have an insight on our future. Pat or Dan?
Well, you know, years ago, like when Pat was working in the early part of my career, we didn't have to worry. We were taken care of. We didn't have to worry about the city. The city treated us right, and the union protected us, and the pension fund would never think of investing in hedge funds. So, but now it's all changed. The 1% want to run everyone else into the ground. They want everything. They want everyone to be on Medicaid. That's what they want. They don't want you to have a thing. So current workers definitely have to be proactive. They have to start going to meetings, and they have to start going, you know, even if five laborers went to the pension board meeting, these guys would shit in their pants. They wouldn't know what to do. What are these guys doing here? Oh, we just came to see what's going on. We have the numbers, but we don't use it in our favor. The union has us divided. They offer incentives. They put carrots in front of people. Oh, I'll give you some overtime. You know, there's a coordinator's position opening. You may be on the list. So all these guys sell their soul to the devil. They actually have other neighbors. Neighbors and drivers don't stick together. If they did, we'd be telling the union what to do, not vice versa.
Pat, if you want to say something, you can, but I'm going to say this real quick. This election that Danny running, to me, is very, very important. I'm going to tell you why it's important to me. Danny get to actually sit at a table with the people that I sit at the table with that I know for a fact it's a club. It's a club about don't talk about nothing after we leave this table. And I know Danny will say exactly what's going on around that table. So I'm supporting Danny with 100%. And I'm telling people, if you know anybody retired, to get out the vote. And they are putting out rumors on Facebook that 1001 members don't tell nobody about the election. I called Danny and asked him. I said, who can vote? And he told me who can vote. Because now 1001 understand Danny's running, and they got their little flop guy running. So now they're trying to use the members to sway the votes their way. So I'm for you, Dan, and if, Pat, you want to say something, you're more welcome, but I'm letting you know, Dan, it's already on Facebook. They're already trying to get their retirees up. So we just have a good fight to fight. Dan or Pat?
Well, that's great. They get the guys to come out to vote. If they vote for the current Mr. Capasso, they're going to lose their pension, too. Not only me, they're going to lose it. So if they want to vote against their own interests, these retirees that the union buys breakfast for once a month, go right ahead. Because you'll be going back to work with me. We're both going to work at McDonald's.
And these guys already got two pensions. Go ahead, Pat.
I wish there was a way to show that court when the pension board lawyers and the union lawyer stood up and told Judge Cohen, "Your Honor, we do not stand behind the labor's case in suing the city." I mean, that what a slap in the face that was. 36 years you gave your blood, sweat, and tears, and they slap you in the face like that? These pieces of shit that are running the pension board and the fucking union. Yes, I said fucking union, because it's not a union anymore. It's, hey, everything for me and the hell with the membership. Everybody has to wake up. The currents, the retirees, everybody has to wake up. I mean, I've been saying this for, what, 4 years now? And still, yep. People argue with me. I get crews that tell me they don't know what's going on. I go, how could you not know what's going on? I tell them to get on the site and read. And they still don't come on the site. I mean, what the hell does it take for these people to open their eyes? It's just like the voters in Chicago with Tutu. You go out there, I mean, I go to the Home Depot, and if I'm standing in line waiting, you know, I'll strike up a conversation about tax and all that and all the other crap. And, you know, everybody's, yeah. But yet they vote for this guy. And it's unbelievable. I am really thinking about leaving the city, frankly. I really had enough of this shit.
I totally agree. Give you a compliment, then I'm gonna go to another caller. Pat reminds me of a boxer that's fighting a good fight and won't go down. I mean, you can beat him, he's bloody, and you're like, what can I do to make this guy go down? And that's good, because the blood is the blood that we get up every morning and we give to the city. The sweat is all the hard work we give them. The everything we give to the city in return, what do they give you back? That blow across your right and your left. So I'm going to go to another caller, 220. I go by the first three of your number, 220.
Hey, y'all, I just joined in. I've been usually, I had my sleep time messed up, so I've been missing you, Rich. I apologize. So I just tuned in. I'm just listening right now.
And you know what? I want to say thank you. She went out her way and bought friends to McDonald's with her to sign Danny's petition. Thank you. I don't know a lot of retirees, and she went out her way and hunted them down. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I want to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. When it's somebody good
and
you want change, you got to do.
He stabbed me in the back.
You
got to
make the extra effort. Right.
Yes. Thank you.
When you want change, you got to make an extra effort. So I just did what I thought was right, you know, make the extra effort. I can't complain if I don't put my head in the ring, if I don't put my effort in. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez, right. Hope to see you out October 12th.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there to vote, too.
And you know, one thing she did, she went to Indiana, found friends. She was on the hunt, and I appreciate it. And then she made it easy for me to just say, meet me halfway. So I appreciate it. And what Dan was saying about Paul Reed had a sheet, and we outdid his sheet. And this is a guy that ran a campaign, and he claimed he had a sheet, but it never made it to Dan. So, I'm putting it out there. So it is what it is.
Yep. You know, some people can talk the talk, other people walk the walk. That's the problem now. Everybody's sitting around talking about it, but don't nobody want to lift their hand or put in a little bit of extra sweat to do something about it. They just go along like sheep. And then when they get screwed, it's like, well, what happened? Too late to be mad then. It already happened. You know, we can get in front of
something.
And,
you know,
stuff.
And I believe that, you know, me and you, 220, we're religious people. We're religious. You know, we grew up in church. I believe God put somebody in your way sometimes to do something to help you. I believe that God put Dan in the way of the retirees because Dan understands money. He understands how the stock works. He understands how investments work. So it'd be stupid for people not to put somebody they really trust to watch their money. It's almost like giving your wife your checkbook and say, go shopping. If you know she's a person that's going to spend everything in the account, you're not going to give her the checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me. So I'm gonna put it back for Oba now. And you know what? I'm not saying Dan is cheap, but Dan always look for the best investment. So I'm gonna put it back open for the floor if anybody like to speak. Everybody, mic here is open.
Listen, my thing is, why they can't run the city in different business like I have to run my household. You know, when I'm short at home, I can't tax nobody. I just have to cut back and make sacrifices. But nobody wants to make sacrifices.
Oh, yeah, City Hall doesn't make sacrifices. Only its present residents.
At the beginning of all this, Tutu's famous words were, everybody's going to have to share the pain. But the thing is, as a retired city worker, he wanted to cut our pension to, I think, 1% it was. And our COLA.
Yeah.
Okay. He wanted to cut that. And then raise our taxes. So we were supposed to get double whammy because we were city workers. That made no sense to me. You know, if my neighbor's taxes go up, I'm happy to pay what they're paying. I have no problem with that. But don't hit me twice for the same reason. I mean, that's what really stirred the pot on everybody. We said, no way.
Well, a lot of retirees are going to be forced out because now Rahm Emanuel, with the latest state budget, lets Rahm Emanuel raise property taxes to fund schools. So, open your wallet. All these guys that vote for the union, that voted for the union for re-election, and that like Mr. Capasso is a retiree, a pension trustee, open your wallets because you're going to pay dearly along with the rest of us. So that's truly what they want. Go ahead. Because he's going to raise taxes again. Water bills keep going up. I got my water bill. It went up another $50. It's $50 to $100 each time every 6 months. And this guy gets on TV and says, I'm not raising water bills. Well, he's lying.
No, he lies?
Yeah.
The man hasn't told one truth yet. I wouldn't believe him if he told me he wiped his ass. I still wouldn't believe him.
Dan, I got a question. If everybody on the retirees vote you in, is there some way that retirees can get a check, a kickback check of investments?
I don't know, Reggie. That's a heavy accusation. I would never accuse somebody of that. I'm just asking myself, why Mr. Capasso wants another term? He's been in about four terms. So it just makes you wonder, but you can't accuse people. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking maybe he's got a relative that's getting a job with one of these banks. I don't know, but I'm not accusing anyone. It just makes me wonder, why would you want an unpaid position when you're collecting three pensions?
It's a hobby.
Yeah, well.
The question is, who's bagging them? Who's bagging them and why are they bagging them?
Right, it's people behind the scenes, probably the union and other politicians behind the scenes. The school laborers and drivers. The same people who school laborers.
Do you know any statistics of how many people voted in the last election?
No.
Okay. Well, what's the end of this shows is, you know what? Think about this. Where they have an election is downtown. You got to cross the bridge. So that means you got to get off the L and walk over the bridge. So how many retirees is going to really go out their way, and they probably got to, you know, extra. It's going to be really hard.
Well, you can if you take the
not
bottom
really.
Line,
if you think about it, I've decided I was going to take Uber. I can take Uber, go vote, and come back down and have Uber bring me back home. Simple as that. You know, I can make that sacrifice to watch my money.
Well, that's a nice sacrifice. And the other retirees, I suggest, instead of playing the lottery, put your lottery money one day, take an Uber, vote. Do something you're going to feel good doing. You did it for yourself, and you did it for your other retirees, and you did it for your kids and grandkids. So, you know, my advice, don't play the lottery one day and use that money to take an Uber and go down and vote.
It's really not that much. It's not going to kill you. Okay, a ride downtown and back, depending on, well, I don't live far, but it would be like maybe $15. I can't sacrifice that for my future. I'm pretty much a sorry ass, you know.
Right.
That's all I should say, you know.
And it's for your kid's future.
For my kids. Yeah, okay.
Now, your pension check, sometimes you put a little money away from your pension check for a rainy day. Well, that can go to your kids if something happens to you. So.
Now, hey, Dan, did 1001?
I'm sure they're supporting Capasso. They have breakfast with them once a month. So why wouldn't they support them? You know, they have that secret breakfast for guys like Chuck Colverdi, the current employee who's what's that other union? 10 something? That our 1092. Union gave that position? 1092. That was our union. That was our union's position. They gave it away to 1092. So yeah, they have breakfast with all these guys once a month. So I'm sure they're back, and you know the union doesn't like me because I'm with you, Reggie. I'm for transparency. You could have took a $100,000 a year job like Latasha Barnes, but you didn't because you are worried about the members.
Hey, and you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I did think about it.
Well, I don't. I would think about
joking.
I would think about it too, Reggie. But you know.
But you know what? The funny thing about all of this is, I ask myself, and I talk to my wife sometimes, and I'd be like, I can't sell myself out and look at myself in the mirror and say I did it. I can't do it, you know. And it's just who I am. But I know for a fact, if Danny gets in there, it's gonna be a problem because Danny's not gonna let them use the retiree money to benefit nobody unless it benefits the retirees.
Well, don't forget now, I'm only one vote out of eight. So it's not like I have a lot of push in there. It's one vote out of eight.
But you can expose.
Yeah, but
exposure is right.
Oh,
exposure.
Yes.
The one thing I learned about 1001, they hate exposure.
That's right. You'll hear about everything. Every investment, I'll put it on. I'll even make my own newsletter, and I'll put it on Pat's website. And I'll mail it to people if they don't get on the computer. It doesn't bother me. But, yeah, this
and you know what? People got to realize one thing. The average person is 50. I'm going to use 50. If you're 50 years old, you need to pay attention to what's going on because the retirees are fighting your battle. Because at 55, you're retiring. But the stage will already be set at 55 for what they want to do already if you don't get involved now. So everybody at 50, we know somebody to retire. Me and Brenda was talking, and we was naming everybody we knew to retire, and she was on it. Like, yeah, I got their number. I'm going to their house tonight. Yeah, I'm going to pick her up. We got to actually motivate people because we're fighting for the people that fought for us and the generation that's coming after us.
You're right. You're fighting also for yourself. But however, no one's going to be able to retire at 55 anymore. Unless their spouse has employer insurance.
Yeah, that's free.
Because
that's
the insurance
much
on the open market
know,
is way too expensive.
Stuff. You know what it's like?
Well,
it's like somebody standing in front of their house and his house is on fire. But they won't. They're too lazy to call the fire department. So it's just, you know, well, whatever. And then when it's all burnt down to the ground, it's like, what happened? Wasn't you standing there looking at the fire? I mean, you didn't even make an effort, you know? And I think that person that's coming behind us, it's going to be worse. It's going to be way worse.
When I retired at age 52, my health insurance for three was, I believe it was like between $350 and $400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big difference. Now, yeah. Just my wife, because my wife is under 65, it costs me $1,200 a month just for her. I'm on Medicare, so that, at least that's good news. It's a lot cheaper.
Yes, you do.
But and they take better care of you. I couldn't believe it. I have had a little over $100,000 in bills so far. And it feels so good. Medicare doesn't argue anything. The bills come in, and it says amount patient may owe, zero. They even helped me on my medication. I got special medication that, are you ready for this? It cost almost $1,000 a pill a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And not only that, they helped me with the copay. So I'm getting it for nothing. I mean, you can't beat that.
Well, that's
and the doctor went in there and argued about it because at first they denied it, and they told him, you know, if he's going to live, he needs this. There, you know, there's no way around it. He has to have this. So I got to take this pill every day. It even gets hand-delivered to me, to my house. I mean, that's how expensive this stuff is.
Wow.
And it might be a program for 3 months, and if it doesn't work, it might be an additional 3 months. So, I mean, you're talking big money. Every month is $26,000 plus the $4,000 copay. So it is just about a grand. You know, if there's 31 days in a month, you know, you're a little under a grand. But, I mean, nobody could afford that shit. And I told him. I says, you know what? I worked too hard all my life. I spent 18 years on a salad wagon. And I says, I was picking up drums like crazy. And I says, if I die, I want to make sure my wife has something. Why should I invest it if I'm going to die on something where I don't even know if it's going to work or not, you know? And I've been honest with it. I've been on a special diet. All my numbers have come way down. They're telling me I'm starting to heal fine. I just had another, what do they call it, endoscopy, where they go down your throat and all that. And they had to tie up some veins. But, you know, other than that, you know, I'm alive yet. I lost a lot of weight. I lost 45, 50 pounds. But you can't beat Medicare compared to Blue Cross. The horror stories I've been seeing, people have to argue for every procedure they get. They have to argue for medication. I mean, there's no reason for all that.
Yeah, I know. I got another retiree friend. He was with Blue Cross. Boy, they took him through the, you know, he paid all that money, and then he still can't get this and can't get that. And still, he got part of it to still pay it. He might as well be dead with the kind of debt he's in. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Right.
But, you know,
I mean,
was talking with my sister, and because medicine is a business now. Okay. So they'll make you sick. You know, somebody younger, they want you to be sick. Okay. Because it's a business for them. I was telling her, I said, you know, when we grew up, the doctor, he may have a house with an extra bedroom. Maybe he had two cars. Everybody else had one. But now they got Benzes and Lamborghinis and everything. Everybody just want to be rich, and they don't care who pay for it. You know what I'm saying? They have no compassion. Everything is just extremely high.
I mean, the way these people are. And then the best part, I don't know if you're aware of it, Bill Daly sits on the board of Blue Cross Blue Shield. The same outfit that's going to invest, I mean, drastically hike our insurance payments up there every month.
Oh,
wow.
He said, I don't understand what people, because it don't seem like stuff is affecting them. They just complain about it, you know, and I was like, they hands tied and they can't do nothing about it. Sometimes I look around, I'm like, well, we the only people paying? Why we got to pay for everything that they screw up?
It's all right.
It almost
welcome
makes
to retirement.
The choices you made. Shit. I was like, damn, I didn't know I was going to be screwed like this. I should have been a fuck up like everybody else and get me some days off from work and all of that bullshit. Made me a couple of DDs and some lawsuits and my pockets be ready now. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that this was going to happen to us? We were taken care of like we were babies all our life. We were always taken care of. And then all of a sudden,
right.
We've
lost all our money in Vegas on a bet like this. Okay.
And Daly got all pissed off and sigged the feds on the old gang.
Yeah.
And
that
was that shit. I mean, we never had a problem. You had a voice with the union. You had a problem. You know what the union did? We'll fix it for you. They would call the ward superintendent.
Yeah.
Hey, don't mess with this guy. You know, he's one of us and this and that. You know, instead now, from what I'm gathering, what I keep hearing 100%, the labor is in the wrong, no matter what. It's the labor.
No.
It's not the ward superintendent. It's not the coordinator. It's the labor.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to throw it back to you guys. Brendan made a statement, and I want to say something. They got it set up now. And when I say something, I got facts. I challenge anybody in the city of Chicago to debate me on anything I say. Here's a fact. When you're on DD now, they got two little things they do now. They send you to a third person to see if you really hurt. And it's an independent doctor. And if the independent doctor say you hurt, the city has a thing that they don't tell people. They want you to sign off on all your medical to come back, and they accommodate you. Now, here it is. They don't do MRI. MRI, what they call it? It was a term they call it.
MMI.
Right. Yeah, they don't do that no more. But they have this paper you can sign, and they'll let you come back. But when you come back, after you work for a couple of months, then they want you to go take a fitness for duty test. And if you're not fit for duty, then they can terminate you because you came back knowing you wasn't fit for duty. Nobody knows this. The union not telling nobody this. And
well,
this is a fact.
Listen, the year before, you know, I fell down just before retirement, and I cracked my head open. I had to get six stitches. And they wanted me to sign some paper. It was a holiday weekend. I'm old. I'm got a hard head. It didn't kill me. But they thought I was going on duty disability. In order to go on DD and get paid, I had to sign this paper in advance saying I wasn't going to sue them, or they wouldn't pay my hospital, medical. Okay. So I refused to sign the paper. You know, it was a year after I retired before the city finally paid them. I wasn't signing anything, and you're going to pay too because I'm going to take you to court because you've been taking money out of my check for 30 years. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But they got some stuff. That was new because I hadn't been on DD. I hadn't been injured in such a long time. I was like, well, I got to sign my rights away in order for if I decide to go on DD for you to pay me? Then I got to say I'm not going to sue you? I could be messed up the rest of my life. How am I supposed to know that before I even go to the doctor? They're on some crazy stuff now. Okay.
But the trick is this. The trick is hypothetical. You get a person to get hurt. He wants an easy job. Even though he's hurt, he assigned that paper thinking that, well, I'm going to go back to the city and I'm going to be sitting behind a desk or delivering mail. Soon as he comes back, they throw his ass on a garbage truck, and then they say, why you didn't pick up them trees? And then they write him up for 29 days. You're terminated for not doing your job. And it's happening. And people are so stupid because me and you witnessed four people I know of that died of heart attacks or they got hurt, they came back to work, had a stroke or died. So, you know, a person got to understand their own worth. We got roughly 10 minutes, and I'm going to throw it to everybody. So anything you want to get out, you got 10 minutes to do it. Dan, you know, I've been holding the floor. If you want to say anything, I know you got the campaign coming up. Say whatever you like, and then we go to Pat, then we go to Brenda.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't surprise me the union would do that. It's been going on for a while. I knew a guy that retired in the middle of he came back from DD work one day, retired, and he never got a settlement check. So this is your money. You pay into workman's comp. Your taxes go into that. So you're entitled to that, and the city's self-insured. So the city, if they don't want lawsuits brought against them, they should make the job safer, eliminate one-man trucks, eliminate the 100-pound lifting, eliminate hazardous work conditions that laborers are exposed to, like asbestos, fiberglass, dust, all kinds of dust. But the city doesn't want to do that. They want to just chew you up and spit you out. And since Rahm couldn't take our pension through the court, he couldn't take our cost of living, now he wants to invest it into the ground. He wants investment losses to where the fund goes in solvent. So all current workers and retirees have to be proactive. This is your money. And this Rahm wants to lose your money. He wants to take it from you and give it to the 1%. So that's all I got to say, Reg.
I'm going to come back to you before we close. But look, I'm going to say this too. They got a thing they call in-between loads. Brendan know what I'm talking about. Pat, you probably haven't heard of it. You old school. But in-between loads, check this out. They give you a sheet with 27 alleys. You finish half of it. Soon as you finish at 11 o'clock, the truck goes to dump. They want you to go turn two alleys and clean a lot. After you finish that, the truck picks you back up. You all go to lunch together for 30 minutes and then go right back to the alley in between loads. They are killing the laborers. They're killing them. And now the laborers are upset that, hey, it's 90 degrees out here. I'm about to fall out. Now, Carrie Austin, I'm throwing her name out, and I'm going to stay in her. And not literally, but I'm going to stay on her. Carrie Austin has a crew called, I call them the Special A crew. She got six laborers that drive around in a white van and chop down trees and clean up lots and put bags everywhere. But guess who picks them up? Whatever crew is in that neighborhood has to cater to her and pick it up. That's not happening to other aldermen. It's a special crew. So it's just the system is so messed up. Where can we start to fix it? And laborers are cowards. They so much of cowards, they scared to say something. Any response?
They don't want to fight. Sometimes you have to turn your attention to what's best for you. Because you don't want to fight. When I was working, I tried to get them to stand up and stuff. People don't want to fight. It's just they just take whatever they get and hold home till they are going out the door. So whatever happens, happens. I know I'm fighting for mine to the last breath in my mouth, and I can't breathe no more. Okay, you're going to have to kill me, okay, for me to shut up. So, you know, you can't, you know, and it's a few of them that's willing to fight, but, you know, they still will. Sometimes you got to stand up by yourself. It just happens that way, you know.
Wow. Well, you know, I learned one day me and Brenda was working together in the Ninth Ward, and Nina taught me and her a very valuable lesson. And me and her laughed. Brenda took me under her wing and taught me a lot. She said, we're going to do our job, and we're going to pick up everything in the alley. And then when the superintendent came out, like, hey, y'all taking too long out here. You know, normally my other ladies had this done. And then Brenda said, what do you want me to do, leave everything so you can come back and write me up? And we laughed about it after she left because there was nothing she could say about it, you know. And no, that's what laborers have to start doing. Do their job.
That's it. You'll kill them if you do your job. Okay, but they don't want. So that's what they know they got over. They know they don't want them to do their fully job. If you just do your full job, then you'll kill them. Okay. When they used to tell me you do too much, put it on the sheet then and tell me you don't want me to do that. Okay, and then I won't do that. I pick up too much. Yeah, I'm getting everything because that's what I do. Okay. But they don't want to do their job, so, you know, they barely want to come to work, you know. It's rough. And the one-man trucks and all of that they have, ain't nobody going to make 30 years. You can't do that. Okay, we told them from the beginning, don't try to make that work. Because in the end, about 5 or 6 years down the road, you're going to regret it. Now they regret it. But it's too late now.
Yep. Well, you know, we're down to our last five minutes.
Money, you got 20 trucks with one man on, you know, and you start out in bed. You ain't going to win.
And you know what? Everybody's crying about it. If you've been in the alley like that, everybody on this line been in the alley. It's not easy maneuvering a couch and flip it in the trunk by yourself. It can be done,
nope.
But it's not easy.
Yeah.
And even with a couch or chairs, tables, it's nice to have a partner. So it's sad. We're down to our last 4 minutes. I'm gonna go up and down 4 minutes. I'm gonna go up and down the panel. I'm gonna go to 403. Then I'm gonna go to Brennan. Then I'm gonna go to Dan to close us out. So 403, Pat.
Yeah, that three-man truck that was our major beef. We stood with three men, and there was no way. I mean, even the basket truck for a while, when I got on, that had three men on it. One guy stood in the middle of the hopper, well, on the ground by the hopper, and one on each side of the street would get the basket, roll it to the truck, and he would help them lift it up and dump it. I mean, we always had three men on trucks. Then that went down to two men. Our curb routes had two men. If they try to put a truck out in the alley with three men, oh, no, we ain't going. That truck sat there until you get us a third man. You don't give us a third man, we'll sit there all day. I don't care. And we did, and everybody stuck together on it. Then all of a sudden, we started hearing rumors that about this one-man truck, two-man truck, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I guess that was in the early 2000s when that started. And I'm like, I was telling guys, I says, you know what? Once you open up the door, the flood will come in. I says, one guy on a truck. That'll be their next step. And I says, and people are going to get killed. People are going to get hurt. There's all kinds of shit that jumps off behind that truck that you don't know. You could get splashed with acid and stuff. I mean, you could fall on ice. There's so many things that could happen back there. You could be dragged into the truck by a tree branch, catching on your clothes or on your, you know, on something. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The union would never go for the safety. All of a sudden, these new clowns got on there. Hey, you know what? The hell with the membership. Well, if they go, we'll get two guys at $19 an hour, and we'll collect twice the union dues that we did from the one guy. I mean, that's where their head is. And it makes no sense. Wake up, Currents. Wake up, retirees. It's before it's too late.
I totally agree. And what's bad is that you didn't throw in there. You got us in this neighborhood early in the morning when it's dark. You can get robbed, raped, or killed. If a female working a one-man truck, it don't take much for a guy to snatch her in an abandoned garage and rape her. And the driver, 9 out of 10, he's not paying attention. Time he realized she got hard raped. So it is what it is. So I'm going to go to 220, and then we'll go to Dan to close us out.
No, I disagree with what he just said, and you said what I was going to say about being a female working back there in the dark in no man's land when you out at 127th Street or back there up in the woods and ain't nobody back there but you and you got a driver, he tended to some. That's a dangerous place to be, and to be scared is a scary place to be by yourself. I've been there. In those places, you know, but I was old school, so I got bats and knives and all that on. I ain't going by myself, somebody going with me. Okay, but I do appreciate having a conversation and staying informed with you gentlemen every Monday. And that's all I had to say.
Hey, and I appreciate you calling in. I really do. Dan, we got less than a minute. Close us out and tell us when's the election. Dan, can you hear me? Dan. He must be having a problem with his phone. Well, I want to say thank you for everybody to call in. And once again, on Mondays, we will be here. And, Pat, I want you to take care of yourself. Brenda, we're looking forward for you showing up for the election. If I'm not mistaken, it's October.
Is it the 12th?
October 12th. 6 to 6. Dan,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Like I said, I'm gonna catch me an Uber down there because I don't have to worry about parking and getting stuck up, robbed at the parking garage with their prices.
All right, well, I will be there. I'll be there. I'll be a poll watcher, so I will be there for the whole day. So thank you again, Pat. Pat, take care of yourself. I'm going to play my goodbye song, and if anybody need me, catch me on Facebook or catch me on the phone. Peace.
Okay.
Take care.
Y'all be safe.
You too.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For one.